Open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1, the book of Ruth chapter 1. God has given us a lesson this morning from the great book, the book of Ruth. Shall we stand together as we read a portion of scripture today? Let me also invite you to share your Bibles with those next to you. If somebody's without a scripture, let them read along with you. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man by the name, certain man of Bethlehem in Judah, went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt kindly with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. And so they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came about when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and with her the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Let us pray. Our Father, now we pray you help us as we look to you, a very present help in time of great difficulty. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Ruth is a wonderful gem in the canon of Scripture. It's one of those sweet books that God has given us for us to look at and has a vital part to play in the history of the Lord's redemption of His people. In this book, there are a number of themes that come together, threads that form the tapestry of this book. One is the theme of this lady that had some great losses, Naomi. And there was a theme of this wonderful young lady by the name of Ruth because of her great devotion to her mother-in-law. Then there's the thread of Boaz, the kind, generous heart that became the redeemer of this great family. And then we have the theme of the divine providence of God woven throughout this entire book of God's watchful care over all of His people. Each of these themes alone could be the subject of a sermon or many, many discussions about God's plan for our lives. But today, as it is Mother's Day, and because there is a need for us to look to God, I want us to consider this mother's great loss, the mother's great loss, Naomi, the great mother, and the great loss that she experienced, because we want you to see in her that she had some great losses, but in her great losses, there was also great help that was available to her. That though she lost a lot, she didn't lose everything, and that God was there for her. Because you and I also, mother or no mother, men and women alike, all of us will experience great trials and difficulties, and we need to know that God is there for us, and God is a present help in time of need. But mothers especially are those select people that have great, great difficulties and great losses. Like Naomi, mothers experience great pain. And we men and husbands understand the difference between, you know, fathers and mothers, and men and women. We look to our mothers and all that they experience from the time they give birth and the great pain that they experience in the process and then the great sacrifices made in our behalf. And we understand the trials and difficulties that they experience, and we understand. We try to understand. We hope to understand and know that God is there for us, a present help in time of great trouble and great difficulty. For a few moments this morning, I want you to focus with me on this woman, Naomi, the main character in chapter 1. And notice with me the great loss that she experienced. Because in her great loss, I want you to see it was tremendous. And then we'll move on to consider secondly that though she had great losses, she didn't lose everything. That her treasure chest that God had given her, though emptied of a great amount of treasure, as we gaze into this treasure chest, we see that there is still an abundance of grace that God had bestowed upon her. She had so much that she had not lost. And we need to do the same thing. That in spite of our great losses, that our treasure chest of grace has not been emptied by the losses that we experience. But consider with me, first of all, in this chapter, Naomi's great loss. First of all, she lost her family. In verses 1 through 5, the Lord describes for us her journey from Judah to Moab, from Bethlehem to Moab. And it ends with verse 5 in a simple phrase, a simple sentence in verse 5. And the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. That's all God says. And the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Now, as you and I read between the lines, we know that there's so much more that was left unsaid. The fact that she had lost the companion of her youth, Elimelech, her husband, her beloved companion, her friend, had been taken away from her. And now she had lost him for 10 years, had been without a husband. And then her two children, Mahlon and Chilion, also taken from her. Sons she had raised and reared and loved and cared for are now gone. Until you've lost the companion of your youth, until you've lost your children, you have no idea how great that loss is. And all God says is, the woman was bereft. That's all He says. But that's all He needs to say. Because the Lord knows the troubles and He knows the greatness of anyone who loses a husband or loses a wife or loses a son, or loses a daughter. She suffered some great losses. We also note that not only did she lose her family, she also lost her welfare. She became a widow. And in verse 21, she explains it to us as only she can. Look at verse 21 with me for just a moment. She explains to the women of Bethlehem, she says, I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back how? He brought me back empty. Ladies, when I left Bethlehem 10 years ago, we left full. Our caravan was full. My husband, my children, we were respectable. We were going to Moab to seek a better family, a better life, relief from this famine. But look at us now. We have nothing. We have nothing. They came back as widows. And the long journey, that they could probably see in the long journey that they had nothing. Their shoes were tattered, their clothes was worn, the coverings were obviously dirty, and they smelled and looked impoverished. And she was right. We have come back empty. See, in that culture, there were no safety nets. There was no social security. There were no death benefits. There was no one to care for you. If you had no husband, you had no children, no sons, there was no one to provide for you. And truly, she says, you know, we have lost everything. We have nothing. We have nothing. And sometimes God takes you there. Sometimes God puts you in that situation where you have nothing. And her predicament was laid out, the fact that she would have nothing. In verse 22, it ends by reminding us that they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest, as if to say the only hope they had was to be at the mercy of the benevolence of the people of Bethlehem, to go and, as it were, beg, to go and glean the fields of the barley harvest and later on the wheat harvest, to do what all the poor people did, as it were, to go to the trash cans of the rich people and pillage the trash cans of the rich and get from the leftovers of those that were better off and be at the mercy of the benevolence of the people around you. That was her description of who she was, of her great loss. But in addition to that, look at verse 20. Not only lost her family, not only lost her welfare, but it says here, she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Do not call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me sweet. My parents named me that. Mom and Dad gave me this name of Naomi. They saw me as a pleasant child, that life for me would be pleasant, would be sweet. Don't call me that. Don't call me Naomi. But call me what? Call me Mara. Bitter. Call me Mara. Bitter. All the sweetness and all the pleasantness gone out of my life. There's no longer joy in me. Call me Mara because the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. My song is gone. My smile is gone. My joy is gone. You know, life can do that to you. Troubles can come into your life and they can come and take all that away from you. Recently, a fire swept through one of our areas here in Southern California and burned this man's house to the ground. He had nothing left. He spent the night in his car, sleeping in his automobile. That's all he had. You see, in one 24-hour period, everything that he had was taken away from him. In some ways, the joy was taken out of his life. Recently, we saw in the news three young ladies that were rescued from this fiend that kept them captive for over 10 years. And one of the young ladies, when she was taken and when she disappeared, her mother was already ill to begin with. And the loss of her daughter hastened her death, took whatever joy there was left in her life and took it away from her. And all she had was nothing, and she died. She never had a chance to see her daughter found alive again and relieved. You see, troubles can do that for you. They can take the joy that you've had in life and take your name and change it from pleasant to bitter. I think of even Jacob when he spoke to Pharaoh as he came with his son Joseph, and Pharaoh asked him, "How has it been with you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life. It's been a bad, I've had a bad life, Pharaoh. It's all been full of troubles and difficulties. There's no joy in my life anymore." You see, that can happen to you. That troubles can come into your life, and whatever joy and happiness and pleasantness has been in you has been taken away from you. It can do that to you. It can suck the juice out of your life. And Naomi testifies to that. She suffered great losses. Great losses. You see, and that can happen to people. Because life is not always fair. The psalmist began by saying that the Lord is our present help in time of difficulty. The Lord is near. He says there comes a time when the mountains do quake. They do totter. They do shake. There comes a time when the mountains do slip into the sea. Bad things happen to good people. Whether you're a saint or a sinner, troubles come to your home. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, they come to you. Whether you're trying to walk with God or just trying to fake it, troubles come to you. Life is not fair. True or not? And seeing that can happen to us. Now, we could end right there, and you can say, "Pastor, thank you for helping me to be a nasty old man. And thank you for helping me just to be a bitter old angry woman. Because I've had so many difficulties and trials, I can leave now and just have a reason for being bitter and Mara." But the story doesn't end there. Because I want you to look again at her life. I want you to look at her with a different perspective. And realize that Naomi didn't lose everything. Oh, she lost some things, and what she lost were really great. To lose her family, to lose her provision, to lose her joy. Hey, that is all great, but great losses. But as you look carefully, no, she didn't lose everything. There were some great helps that she still had available, and great grace that was there. Consider with me for a few moments, because we need to look at this. First of all, Naomi didn't lose her faith in God. Naomi did not lose her faith in God. Her troubles did not take away her faith in God. I want you to note that, because troubles have a tendency to do that to you. They have a tendency to drive you away from God. But Naomi, no, not in her case. Her losses were great, but never great enough to take away her great faith in God. She kept her faith in God. In chapter 1, you'll see that even though she went to the land of Moab, even though her husband took her from Judah, the land of God, took her to Moab, a pagan heathen land where they worshiped strange gods and did strange things, that even in a pagan land, Naomi did not lose her faith in God. She kept her faith in the Lord. She was not overwhelmed. She was not contaminated by the heathen around her. She kept her faith in God. You notice that in verse 8 when she speaks to her daughters-in-law. And she says to them, return each of you to your mother's house. And may who deal kindly? May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me. In verse 9, may the Lord grant that you may find rest. See, God was still on her tongue. Her faith was still in him. She had not lost her faith in God. Even though she was taken to a heathen land, she didn't become a heathen. Even though her husband dragged her, oh, she would not be dragged into heathendom. She kept her faith in God. Also notice, secondly, that in verse 16, I want you to read something with me in verse 16. And Ruth said, and here Ruth utters these immortal words that have gone around the world and through the ages. She says, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people." And what? Notice, "and your God, my God." This Moabite heathen woman had become a convert. Who converted her? Naomi did. Naomi converted her. She saw the faith of Naomi in her home, in her sadness, in her trials, in her difficulties, in the lack of joy. She saw deep faith. She saw her day in and day out trust in God and pray to God and trust in the Lord and hold on to him. And the faith of Naomi won over the faith of Ruth, and Ruth became a believer. You know, it's easy for us to play the part on the outside, but when you're true at home, you're true. When you're true at home, when your children see you on your knees in prayer, when your children see you trusting God, when there's no one else to impress, when there's no one else to please, when there's no one else to try to play the part with, when they see your true faith, then they believe. See, and her faith was so real that it converted Ruth, her daughter-in-law. This Moabite heathen came to faith and trusted in God. Is that faith or is that faith? That is faith. Her faith was real. Then she also, if you notice in chapter 1, she also was able to turn to God and the Lord's activities and recognize that whatever happened to her, God was in it. Notice the argument. Notice the discussion in verse 20. When she says to the women, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went back full, but the Lord brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me." I want you to see something there, my friends, that she recognized God's hand in all of her life. She may be bitter, but she was not bitter at God. She may have had her joy taken away from her, but she was not at all blaming God for it. She says, whatever happened, whatever losses I've experienced of my husband and my children and my possessions, it is not God's fault. We left Bethlehem. We left Judah. We left the shelter of God and we went to Moab. Whatever happened in Moab, you know what? It's our fault. We should have never left to begin with. We should have stayed. This isn't God's dealing. This is not God's fault. This stuff happened because we refused to stay beneath the shelter of God's wings when things got tough. We simply packed up and left. And this is the consequence of that. It's fine. But this is not God's fault. This is not the Almighty's fault. I don't blame Him for it. And friend, when you can come to the place in your life when you don't blame God for the troubles in your life, friend, that is real faith. That is real faith. To say, like Job, "Lord, though you slay me, I will still trust you." True or not? You know, it's easy to be a Christian when things are fair weather, isn't it? When everything's going well, it's easy to be a Christian. It's a different story when things are going tough. When there's trouble, it's true or not? When all of a sudden things are not perfect and your bubble is burst, then it's a little more difficult. But see, Naomi shows us that though she had all these difficulties, she didn't lose the main thing. She didn't lose her great trust in God. She trusted God even in the most difficult circumstances. And then I want you to see something else in chapter 2. Let's just go to chapter 2 for just a moment, because later on, things happen to Naomi. People come and help her out. And it says in verse 20, "And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead.'" She knew that no matter where she went, God was not far from her. That though she was going through these difficult times, that the Lord is a present help in time of difficulty. That the Lord is there for us. Like it says in Scripture, that the Lord promised, "I will never leave you and I will never," what? "Forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "I will trust in the Lord. I will put my trust in Him. What can man do to me?" You see, Naomi, even though she had no sweetness, she had no joy, she had a deep, deep trust in God, that God is there. You see, that is not a contradiction. How can you be a joyless believer? How can you be a joyless Christian? Well, friend, you can. You can. Because you see, faith is deeper than joy. And trust is deeper than joy. Joy is coming one day, is it not? Joy is coming someday. We're going to be with Him for all eternity. We can trust in that. But she looked to Him, she looked to God, and God was there for her. And she would not and could not and did not turn her eyes away from God. Now I want you to see something else. She didn't lose her faith in God. And secondly, she did not lose her selflessness. See, troubles can make us bitter. They can make us bitter and angry and selfish and self-centered. Agreed? It can. Make us ugly people. Ugly people. When you look at Naomi, she was the opposite. Go back to chapter 1. Let me illustrate it for you. She was so full of giving. Now, we've already told you, we've already mentioned that she was a widow. And she was going back to the land of Bethlehem, and her other two younger daughters-in-law, who were also widows, were coming with her. Now realize, she is old, they are young. She has nothing but them. And they are going back to Bethlehem. They went to Nevada, to Las Vegas, to make a better life. She lost everything. She lost her husband and her sons. Now they're catching the bus back to East L.A. And all she has is these two daughters. She has no money. She has nothing except these two ladies. And they're the ones that are going to get a job at the local Walmart and Burger King and bring in money for her to live, for them to all live together. They were going to be her security. Can you read it now? Can you see it? But she doesn't do that. Before they get on the bus, she says what? She says, no, I don't want you to come. I want you to go back to your mother's house. You're still young. I want you to go find a husband, remarry, have a family, have security. With me, you have nothing. I have nothing to offer you. If you want some other sons, it'll never happen. I am old to begin with. I have no husband. If I was to have a husband, would you wait around for the next 20 years? It would never happen. No, listen, you go home. You go home, you find husbands, you live a better life than I could ever give you. See, that is selflessness. She's thinking about them and not about herself. Did you see it? You see, you can have troubles, you can have difficulties, but they don't need to make you selfish and bitter and self-centered. And she didn't become that. She became a wonderful, giving lady. And she encouraged these ladies and persuaded Oprah to leave, but Ruth wouldn't take it. She said, I'm hanging with you. I'm staying with you. And so, you know, she won out. Okay, well, get on the bus and let's go back to East Lawson. And they came back. Now, the story doesn't end there because Ruth was the one that was working now. She was the one that got the job at Walmart. And she was the one bringing home the beans and rice. She was the one that was paying the bills. She was the one doing it because she got a job with a guy named Boaz, who was kind of a nice guy and rich and was giving her a break. And then go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3 for just a moment. I want you to see her selflessness, not only in her daughters-in-law, but also what she did for Ruth. Now Naomi's, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" She says, "You know, Ruth, I gotta seek your welfare. I gotta think about you, not about me." You see, Naomi knew the Bible. Ruth didn't. She was a converted Moabite. What did she know about the Bible? She had just come to faith in Christ, faith in God through Naomi's faith. She knew nothing about the Bible. Naomi did. Naomi knew the fine print that was in the scripture. She knew that there was a law in the Bible that said that if you were a widow and you died, and your husband died, that there was a next of kin that could come and marry you, had the right to marry you, and then take care of you. That was in the law. And so when Naomi heard that Boaz was helping Ruth, she realized when she put things together that Boaz was the next of kin. That Boaz had the right to marry Ruth and make her his wife and give her all that he had. Now Naomi could have said, oh, nunca. She'll work at Walmart and stay there because I need to. But did she do that? No. She said, honey, I got good news for you. You know this guy Boaz? The one that's been so good to you? He has the right to marry you. He is single. He's not married. He is very rich. Very, very rich. He's also very, very kind and very gracious. He's also dark and handsome. No, it doesn't say that. But and say what he looked like. And he can marry you. He can become your husband. Giving, selfless, and she goes and does that. Now, she didn't have to do that, but she did. You see, people, God, her heart was on the outside. Oh, she was sunburned. On the outside, there was a certain callousness, a certain hardness that the desert sun had beaten on her. And the trials of life had darkened her and hardened on the outside. But inside, there was a tenderness and a kindness and a generosity that she refused to have her troubles affect. And here she was a kind and generous and selfless lady. Now let me ask you, what have you become? With your trials and your difficulties, what has it made your heart? Has it made you angry? Has it made you bitter? Has it made you selfish? Has it made you self-centered? Or has it done something to you? Have you refused to let it affect the inside? Now the outside looks so calloused, but you refuse to let the inside be consumed, and you've still maintained the kindness that you need to have towards people. You see, she didn't lose that. She didn't lose that. She had this special, special tenderness for other people. And then I want you to look with me something else. Because see, though she lost, she says, I went full, but I came back empty. It's not really that true. Not really that true. It seems that she came back empty. But did she come back empty? No, because see, her companion was who? Ruth. Ruth was her companion. And as long as you've got a person like Ruth around you, friend, you've got some stuff going for you. Because Ruth is not like any ordinary gal. She's not like some floozy, some yo-yo, some airhead, some wacko down the street. No, this Ruth is entirely different. She's from a different piece of cloth. And God gave her Ruth. And Ruth clung, and Ruth came, and Ruth was there with her. Now notice the testimony. Look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 and the testimony of Boaz when he speaks to Ruth. In verse 11 of chapter 2, and Boaz replied to Ruth and says, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. And how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Even Boaz was impacted by this woman's life. And this Boaz was a great man. He says, your life, how you treat Naomi is impressed all of us. Go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3 and verse 11. Now my daughter, he says, Boaz speaking to her, now my daughter, don't fear. I will do whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a what? A woman of excellence. You're a woman of excellence. You're not some just poor Moabite heathen gal, a proselyte to Judaism. You're a woman of excellence. You're a cut above. Look at chapter 4. Go to chapter 4. Even the women. Now when women say something, you know it's got to be true. And even they talked to Naomi. Verse 14, and the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than what? Seven sons." Can you say that of anybody else? Are you better to me than seven sons? And that's who she was. I mean, even they say, you know, this gal, Naomi, you have a jewel here. God has given to you a jewel. I mean, didn't Jesus say it is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. And see, and Ruth and Naomi gave and she gave and she gave and God gave her back. God, she pushed Ruth away and Ruth came back with a vengeance. She shoved her out of the car and she jumped in through the window. In other words, she was not going to leave. And that's what God gave to Naomi. See, she was not impoverished. She was not. God gave her something that was even more than she had lost two sons. She gained a daughter-in-law that was worth how many sons? Seven. Seven. Look around you. Whom has God given you? God gave her all these people. I mean, these women. The women in Bethlehem, they came and they didn't kick the gal when she was down like they do in some cultures. They didn't say, "Oh, here comes Naomi. Look at her. The one that thought she was some great stuff. Look at her now. Ha, ha, ha." They didn't do that. No, they were shocked. They were astonished. But they rallied around her. They rallied around her and they became her safety net. When Ruth went out to look for a place to glean, to pick up some scraps, she just happened to land in the field of Boaz. She happened to land. And they all began to hear who she was, and they were just impressed. And they began to help her. They were there to help her. They weren't going to kick her down. See, there was a safety net. You're never, never alone. If you have people, you are never, never poor. If you have those around you, you're never poor. You see people, no matter how difficult your circumstances are, look around you. God has people there to help you and support you. Last Sunday night, we had the Lord's Supper communion service here on Sunday night. And there was a testimony that was given that repeated over and over again by people that had gone through very difficult times. And their testimony was all the same. In our difficult times, the people of God were there to help us. It was over and over and over again. In our difficult times, the people of God were there to help us. Somebody almost seemed to say, "You should go have a difficult time so folks can help you." I said, "Well, you don't need to do that." But the issue is that people are there to help you. You see, she lost, but she didn't lose everything. She lost two sons, but gained a daughter-in-law that was worth what? Seven. She had all these people surrounding her. They're all helping her. Now in chapter 4, I think I left you in chapter 4, right? Go to chapter 4. Let's begin at verse 13. At verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his what? Wife. Think about that. This little poor impoverished Moabite proselyte who had nothing became the wife of this very rich, distinguished, kind, generous man. Overnight. Is God good or not? See, he provided for her. It goes on to say, and they got married, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a what? A son. And the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who hasn't left you, Naomi, without a redeemer today. And may his name become famous in Israel, the name of the little boy. And may he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him." And Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." And so they named him what? Obed. Obed. Now listen, Ruth didn't name him. Boaz didn't name him. Naomi didn't name him. Who named him? Las viejas metiches named him. These busybodies named him. Can you see it? Isn't he beautiful? You know, and let's call him Obed. Obed, Obed. That's his name, Obed. What does Obed mean? It means servant. Either servant of the Lord. Servant of the Lord. Or as one particular commentator said, because the women named him and because they would look at him with some kind of endearment, little servant. Little servant. Naomi, he's your little servant. He's your redeemer. He's your restorer to life. You have nothing to worry about now. He will take care of you in your old age. Imagine that. Not have to worry about anything because little Obed, the servant, will take care of you. Now, isn't God gracious? See, she never lost the Lord's provision, the Lord's protection, the Lord being there for her and giving her Boaz as a redeemer and giving her Obed as the little fellow that would grow up and ultimately would be taking care of the entire family. This is Obed. And then it ends by saying in verse 17, and so they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of who? David, who's the father of who? Of Jesus Christ. How does that strike you? Obed is a great, 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 great grandfather of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got it. Imagine. A little Moabite girl marries a Jewish guy whom God takes. She joins a mother-in-law. They come to Bethlehem. Happens to glean in the field of a guy named Boaz, who just happens to be the next of kin, who happens to love Ruth and marries her, and then all of a sudden, who happens to give birth to Obed. Do things just happen? Or is God in it? Is God in it? God is in it. God is in it. God is always in it. God is always in it. So whatever troubles you experience, God is always in it. Now we need to look at the good. Did Naomi suffer great losses? Oh, they were horrendous. Loss of family, loss of security, loss of joy. But did she lose everything? No, because as you looked again, she had all these other treasures. The treasure of faith, which is better than all. The treasure of a wonderful, warm heart that is able to give and to give and to give. The treasure of people around you to support you and care for you, and the treasure of God's providence always there, working everything that causes all things to work together for good to those that love God. Now look at me for just a moment. Some of us here have gone through some very, very difficult times. Hard times. Unspeakable pain. I know it. We have wept together. We have wept together. But you know, friends, in spite of our great losses, we see the greater treasures God has given us. Hasn't he? They're there for us. They're there for us. I ask you, to not let your troubles make you a bitter person. Let them make you a better person. Don't let them make you an angry, lonely, old person. Don't allow your troubles to have you turn your back on God and to blame Him. Rather, look deeper. Look deeper. And recognize that God is there for you. God is our very present help in time of difficulty. Is he not? He's not far from us. He's always been there. He's always been there. And look to that. And let your faith be drawn in that direction. In that direction. Look for the good that will come out of your troubles. Look for the sweetness that God will put back into your life. He'll change your name from Mara, rechange it back to Naomi. I know you changed your own name, but he'll change it back and give you some sense of joy along the way. Do you believe that? Believe it with your heart and trust in him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much that we can look to your word this morning. And we have not read a little story for children. We have not read a little story that just teaches a moral lesson. We have read the story of the birth of Obed, the great ancestor of the great Savior Jesus Christ, and the events surrounding his birth and the great lessons of faith you have for all of us. Men and women alike, mothers and fathers, young and old. And Lord, I pray that you help us today for those of us that have gone through deep, deep troubles and difficulties. Help us today to look deeper and to look at our hope chest that lies before us and to see that it is not empty at all. Though we have suffered great losses, but we have not suffered more than make up for the losses that we have suffered. Help us to look in that direction. Restore the faith of some today. Restore the joy of others today. Restore our confidence in you and in your people today. And Lord, for some who do not know Jesus Christ, may you restore their lives. Make them born again as they put their faith in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, that died for our sins. We now ask you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.